was in the summertime. I was returning from Palestine, Texas. My buddy Sam Smith, who, after we both got right with God, went up to Seekonk, Massachusetts, and built one of the great churches of this nation in an impossible situation. 30-some-odd acres, a church and a Christian school, and I believe he had a Bible school, if I remember correctly, but Sam and I were two rascals, and God spared our life. I wrecked his daddy's new Mercury because Sam had lost his license because of tickets. His dad said, "I can trust you, Bob." Now, it wasn't that I was untrustworthy. I was just dog tired. We were loading trucks, semi-trucks, and we were going with a couple of preacher's daughters up in Palestine, Texas, and that rascal didn't get in until 2 hours after he's supposed to get in, so I have to drive home, and 97 miles an hour, I went to sleep at the wheel, and that thing went out of control. God spared my life. God wakened my mother at 2:30 in the morning and said, "Pray for your son. His life's in danger. If you'll pray, I'll spare his life." Not a scratch, not a scratch, not a scratch. My Lord, that's the car right there, 1951 Mercury, yeah. You see both of us. So I told Sam, I said, "Sam, I don't know what you're going to do, but I said, I'm going to serve God. I've had it, man. I've had it." Sam took him. He was hard, a little harder headed than I was. Took him 2 more years, but he finally settled down and went up to Massachusetts, and church is still going strong up there. And it's not a piece of cake to build a good church up in that part of the country, I'm going to tell you. But God used him in a supernatural way. And I think of all the times that prayer has brought us through and brought us out. Amen. It's one of the foundational principles. Prayer and God's word are unstoppable foundational powers available to all believers. A word of faith in prayer is unstoppable. And I'll tell you why, just for a few of the reasons. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 said, "Men ought always to pray." I don't know where somebody, I've heard so many men say, "Well, prayer, that's the wife's department, you weenie, you know." God wants men to pray. God wants men to pray. God wants men to stand up and be the spiritual high priest of their home. So there is, men ought always to pray. Isaiah chapter 40 said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint." Oh, thank God for prayer. Isaiah 55 said, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return void, but it will prosper in the thing that I've sent it to do." Jeremiah 33:3 said, "Call upon me and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things." Things you don't know, I'll show you. And without much comment, unless God says to you, I just want to leave this deposit with you. Why pray? Why pray? You know, it seems like church is major in everything but prayer. And very, very soon, could be this year, we'll cross that million mark up in the power tower. First of all, praying and faith believing pleases God. Hebrews 11:6. "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a God that is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Praying and faith pleases God. Secondly, praying in faith positions us to receive supernatural rewards. God is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. I said, God is a rewarder. God pays his debts. God will be debtor to no man. Praying in faith positions us to receive supernatural rewards. Thirdly, praying in faith humbles us under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Prayer is an humbling experience. When my knees were much stronger than they are right now, what a joy it was, thank God, to kneel before God. Kneeling before God is an humbling experience. We say, "God, You're bigger than we are. You're wiser than we are. God, you're it. There is nothing greater than... Is there any God that is greater? No, no God is greater than our God. Prayer plows the ground and prepares the heart for planting seed. Amen. You know, it's amazing that preachers do as much as they get done trying to penetrate the hearts of so many people who haven't prayed. You know, it takes you a while to get it. I don't know how these people, well, they're not making it very well. You know, we're going to cut God down to 30 minutes or an hour. Dear God, you're hard to get your breath in a service. And you know, the biggest challenge we have in church is to get our spirit and our mind quiet before God to hear what God is saying. That's one of the greatest challenges all of us have. There's so many noises, phones, media, everything, honking horns and barking voices. So many noise sounds in the world today. It's a rare moment when you have that golden silence to be still and know that I am God. Praise God. You know, when you get your spirit quiet, it doesn't take long to pray, get something done. Sometimes so much prayer has to go on because our spirit's so noisy. Direct prayers bring direct results. It's what Dr. Finney said, praying in faith plows the ground and prepares our heart for planting seed. Prayer prepares our heart for increase. Increase. You know, Brother Basil's done a marvelous job on preaching about increase and how that God is in the process of, and we believe it's happening, transferring the wealth of this world into the hands of the sinner. But you know, if your heart is not softened through prayer, it'll go right through your fingers. I mean, look at people that win the lottery. Very few ever amount to anything financially. Easy come, easy go. You know, we need to come to church with a prepared heart so that the seed of God's word can be planted in us. Prayer prepares our heart for harvest, for increase and for harvest. Prayer opens our eyes to God's next thing. I want to say that again. Prayer opens our eyes to see God's next things. See, this morning is a next thing. You understand the word. I'm not trying to be a sacrilegious. But it's the next step, the next move. Prayer opens our eyes and our ears and our hearts to see God. What's the next move going to be? What's the next step going to be? Praise God. If you'll get quiet, God will show you. Every major move this church has made came to me in a moment of quiet and silence. And when I say that, I mean just being in the presence of God and letting God speak to our spirit. What's happening here on this platform this morning? This has been in my spirit for a considerable period of time, but I couldn't see how in the world it could happen. And this really is a suddenly. This has really come to a head the last 30 days. It's a quick suddenly. And Brother Andrew, all of us have spent time. We've had meeting after meeting after meeting. God just began to just bang, bang, bang. God worked it out. Prayer opens our eyes to God's next things. Prayer shows us things we don't know. Boy, that's all of us. Amen. Prayer will close the door on the old and opens the door to the new. Amen. If I didn't think you was writing, I'd fuss at you for not shouting. Prayer will close the door on the old and opens the door to the new. Prayer brings fresh vision. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, fresh vision. As he prayed, the vision became evident. Prayer gives us instructions. Psalms 32 and 8, I will teach you and instruct you. In the way that you should go, I will guide you with my eye. Prayer shifts the weight of us winning to trusting God to win for us. Takes the weight off your shoulders. I just said something really important there. Amen. Say it again. I will. Prayer shifts the weight of us winning to trusting God to winning for us. You know, He's already paid the price. Grace has already provided everything we'll ever need. The grace of God has already provided everything we will ever need. But faith obtains. Just because something's provided, I mean, there are millions of dollars in Austin of people that haven't claimed things that belong to them, property and, you know, under that. It's there, but it will never be anyone else's until you claim it. So I want to say it again. Prayer shifts the weight of us. You know, we feel like, oh, God, I've got to win. I can't get there from here. Oh, God, what am I going to do? Just, hey, relax and shut up and believe God and put the weight on God's shoulders. Amen. You know, in the beginning of our ministry, I'd see young preachers that give their right arm to do some of the things that God's done in this house and in this ministry. But you know, I found out God knows how to put people together. I've seen people try to make a friendship, try to make an acquaintance. You know, just happen to be at the right, hello, I heard you play golf, and so here I am in your face. And someone always hits them with a five iron or whatever, you know. You don't have to sneak around and get something done. Just trust God and watch God go to work for you. Oh, I'm saying some good things this morning. Trust God and let God go to work for you. Just trust God. Hallelujah. He's the best banker in the world. He's the best financier in the world. He's the best travel agent in the world. And I say it humbly, but I say it in truth. Just through my going to Dallas and sowing seed, we got a school here, and God helped us in that time through a very difficult financial time. And I just think invitations begin to come. And I've stayed in some of the finest hotels in the world. Don't do it all the time, but it's happened, and it's always nice when it does. I've flown 50,000 feet in a private Learjet. Hallelujah. Some of you may have done that, but not many of us have. You know, at 50,000 feet, you can just reach out and grab a star. You can just reach out and grab a star. It's amazing what you can see. You can see over the curve. Whoa. There's a difference in a 150 Cessna and a Learjet or whatever. You know, God wants us to fly at a higher altitude than we've been flying. Amen. He wants to get you up where the supernatural is taking place. Glory to God. Where's all this coming from? Amen. Praise the Lord. Shifts the weight of us feeling that weight of I've got to win, but I can't get there from here, to trusting God to win for us. I never will forget the time we were downtown. We moved from that 200-seat auditorium to a 2,000-seat auditorium, and we had a banknote. We were making the payments, but we couldn't get anybody to finance it for us. Fred Price needed $1.5 million. Marilyn Hickey needed $1.5 million, and we needed $1.5 million. Marilyn Hickey called me. She said, Bob, she said, if you can fly out and meet us in Albuquerque, she said, I know of an Indian reservation, and they have unlimited funds out there, and they want to finance charitable organizations. And so, man, I got the next plane, flew out. Marilyn and I, we drove across country, godforsaken country out there. We got to the reservation, and you know what? The chief was gone on vacation for 3 weeks. He didn't know we had a note coming due. Can you imagine that chief just left without telling me? It's kind of like the Australian walkabout on the outback. You know, they just walk off, and 6 months later, they come back in, you know. But I mean, we've been through some unusual times. But you know what? God worked that out. God worked that out. I'll never forget downtown when they gave us the 30-day eviction notice. We'd lose everything. Lose everything. Lose everything. when you're looking at a million and a half, which turned into many, many more millions. I got my car and wept before God. I went west. I don't even know where I drove. Don't know how I drove safely. And I cried out from Isaiah 45:11, concerning the work of my hands, command you me. You better take your shoes off when you read that one and pray that one. You don't do that flippantly. I got back to the church, and a backslidden Baptist preacher who had gone into financing had called and said, I want to meet with you. I want to meet with you. They said that man never had a business deal that was legitimate, but ours worked. And he connected us with the right financing. Folks, I'm going to tell you, just take the foot off the brake. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. God knows what to do, when to do, how to do. Amen. God knows. All right. Prayer and praise brings. Holy Ghost joy releases. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas. Boy, charismatics are helpless when you get their hands and their feet tied down, you know. But you know what? Some way they said they began to sing. And they prayed and they gave praises to God. And Jailhouse Rock was initiated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And angels came down and God did great things. Prayer raises up. And here's the thing that I want to conclude with today. I've just given an oversight of something that I've taken much more time on. From Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 1 and 2. After these things, Jesus appointed 70 others and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Then he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. That's exactly what Pastor Vicky was talking about a moment ago. Pray the Lord of harvest. You know, God has the only problem God has is a labor problem. I've never said that before, and I stand correction if I'm wrong on that, but it seems to me like the only problem God has, he's short on laborers. And we've all got excuses why we can't do it, or we can't do it now, or we can't give it now, or we can't be that now. But I am making a faith statement this morning. God is going to raise up financially blessed people that when they are blessed will continue to be givers, tithers, and givers into the work of God. You know, our life is no secret for 53 years. We haven't been high rollers. We live, thank God, we have a comfortable home, and I thank God for it, and it meets our needs, needs some upgrading, but thank God for it. Anybody can go out and lease a car. You know, we could have been high rollers and done a lot of things a lot of different ways. In fact, instead of building a Christian school, this whole thing could have been shut down, put in a trust, and just been a missionary thing, and we wouldn't have to argue with all the yeah we've had to put up with some situations. But you know, I believe when you do what God calls you to do, God takes care of it. And God's, you say, well, what about money? Well, it all comes down to money. Amen. You can broadcast more, you can televise more, you can preach more, you can reach more, you can advertise. There's all kind of things you can do when you have a little bit more money. We have one of the greatest staffs this church has ever had. There is such a team harmony. It's just awesome. It's just awesome. The staff men and the staff wives, precious people. These are good. We have good people around here. Good people. Honest people. People that love God. And I believe God's going to raise up more people with finances. Amen. You know, it's amazing First time we went on television, we got a $50,000 check, and we didn't even know if it was good. We called the bank, and it was good. We called the lady, and she said, yeah, I did that on purpose. She said, I want you to go on television. We went on Channel 11 for 6 months on that $50,000. I still don't know how we made it. Two people, two cameras, and we were right behind First Methodist Church. We got the money to do it, and we did it. We did it. We did it. And there have been two or three other times that special things have come through, but you need a lot of special things. This church has had more bang for the buck than any church that I know of anywhere in the world. Just look, we got a television cranking up over there with over 30 million people watching under the signal. And now we're getting ready to get into Bible college that's going to reach all over the world in an unprecedented way. So what I'm saying is I'm just believing God that God's going to bless and God's going to just touch you. I know we've had a lot of different things, but boy, this is good news today. Boy, this, I just revert back to Gabriel Heater. Some of you don't even remember that name. They told him if he didn't quit giving bad news, they was going to put him off the air. So he started coming on the radio at night. Said, ah, yes, there's good news tonight. I remember hearing over the little Motorola entertainment center we had in our home. That's before television, you know, dinosaurs and all that kind of stuff back then. But are you ready for the greater? Are you ready for the better? Are you ready for more? It's not time to reverse. It's not time to quit. It's time to go forward. It's time to shout the victory. It's time to rejoice. It's time to rejoice. God is at work. God is at work. Okay, I appreciate your words this morning. You guys have, what else can I say? I didn't tell you what to say. I haven't had a chance to talk to you except just say hello and God bless you. But I'm going to leave. I'm pumped. I'm really pumped this morning. You know, Satan's in a world of hurt. He knows his day is near. And our day is getting brighter by the day. I said, hallelujah. It's God's time for revival from coast to coast and border to border. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, what are you going to do with increase? Oh, good Lord, we can run four services a day in this place. We can reach many thousands of people in this piece of property. Hallelujah. Amen. This construction will be over after a while pretty quickly, and we just keep going forward. I just want to thank you, and I want to thank God. I want to thank you and I want to thank God. The best is yet to come. You're in the right place at the right time. And we've just started. In one way, I almost feel like we've just started. Good Lord. 53 years has gone by like a shutter on a camera. And there's no shortage on sinners, so we've got our work cut out for us. It's time for revival. It's time for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. By the way, Brother Rodney Howard Brown will be here the last week in June. The last week in June. He'll be with us Sunday through a Friday. What a blessing the Howard Brown family has been to this ministry and to this church and to this pastor. We love you guys. Be here tonight, 6:30, Wednesday night.